David Murray's book is titled The Happy Christian. We have started off by thinking about his introduction and the first chapter where he talks about happy facts. We're going on into his next chapter and the next several chapters through the rest of the book. He's going to consider different parts of our life that you can exercise discretion in and influence the pattern of thinking in your life. So the title of chapter 2 is called Happy Media, and that's the subject that he's going to take up, about how media influences what we think. So let's define media to start off with. I'd just open it up and ask you to define that for us. What are we talking about when we talk about media?
Story means. Means of telling a story.
Means of telling a story.
Means of communication.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a channel through which ideas are communicated.
Wow, that sounds like something...
it gets thrown like that. A channel
by which information is communicated. Is that what you said?
Ideas
are communicated. Wow. Give some examples.
The internet.
Yep, internet.
Netflix.
Radio. Books.
Records.
What's that?
Newspapers.
What's that? Television.
Music.
Yeah. Okay, so there are a variety of ways that ideas are communicated to you. And sadly, much of what we take in by these different means of media today have a decidedly negative nature to them. I want to give a couple of examples of that. Just think about what you read in the news. Whatever form of that you take in the news, whether that be a newspaper, a news magazine, watching the news on the television, internet, things like that.
No news is good news.
there is a certain element of that. But just think back over the last week. What are the news stories that you became aware of this week? Well, that's true. Raise your hand if you can remember a negative news story that came through this week.
Rather about my no news.
Raise your hand if you can think of an affirming news story that came through the news media this week. Okay, what was the affirming story that you heard?
It's kind of a long story.
Okay.
If you'd like 5 minutes, it's kind of interesting, but otherwise it's just gonna...
We'll take it some other time. Why is that? Why is there this imbalance?
Bad news sells.
Unfortunately, it's been kind of beaten into our heads that bad news sells papers. Bad news gets you to click on it.
That's why global warming has become such a thing, is mostly because it sells.
It sells. I looked up one fact here, thinking about entertainment, and just speaking about television, one study suggests that an average American child will see 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders on TV by age 18. So I've shifted from news and what's actually happening to entertainment, and I didn't make that transition very clear. The entertainment that we take in often has a violent or sensational character to it.
No.
Well, the answer to that has to be, why, certainly. The Three Stooges has a violent nature to it. Hopefully we're not too distracted now by the Three Stooges. I think we're probably discerning enough to recognize something that's offered in really fun by the Three Stooges and is not real world to what is what it is real? No. To what is offered in the world of the news or in entertainment today, and the entertainment today is often very violent, and shows those violent acts more than they once did. There's a progression in entertainment these days. At one point, it was all Hollywood just about came apart when Gone with the Wind came out, and there was one swear word uttered on screen, and the idea of a illicit affair was still illicit, and now what's offered is so far down the road from that. So we can talk about garbage in, garbage out. That's used in computer programming. If you put in garbage, you're going to get garbage out. Well, the same is true in our lives. If you put garbage in and feed your heart with things that are sinful, violent, lustful, then what comes out of the heart then are murders, adultery, theft that proceed from the heart, and those are fed some way. Here's a quote from Murray. He says, in other words, if we let what is false, offensive, dishonest, filthy, ugly, and loathsome into our minds, we might as well sign up for a course on how to be hyper-anxious. These interlopers drive peace from the castle, lower the drawbridge, and invite the armies of worry and instability into the mental citadel. He uses a word picture here that the children would hopefully understand. So if you have a castle and a moat and a drawbridge and there's enemies outside, those enemies aren't going to have very good access to your castle, right? If the drawbridge is up and you're defending the castle, what would happen if you let the drawbridge down and you open the gates? What's the enemy going to do? And they're going to come right in and make their home in your castle. And it was may as well sign up for a course on hypertension. What's the opposite then of garbage in and garbage out?
Good stuff in, good stuff out.
Sure, yeah. What is wholesome? What is good? Put what is good in, and that good will then influence as well. With that in mind, I'll ask for a volunteer to read Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Thanks, Sam.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
And then verse 9.
What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
I wanted to add that that last verse we often... I know I memorized Philippians 4:8 when I was in high school. And really a good verse to commit to memory. If you do commit this to memory, take verse 9 as well, because it has the promise of peace that is associated with it. And in this context of good in, good out, as opposed to garbage in, garbage out, it's significant because we are lacking in peace. We are experiencing anxiety, and our thoughts are contributing to that. The things that you learn and you receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The context of that is, he says, to meditate on these things, to think on these things. It's something that takes some effort on your part to put in good and to resist the being conformed to the world. Remember last week we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2. That it's far too easy to float along in the stream of the culture around you and be conformed to the world around you. Instead, it takes effort to meditate on these things. Now, biblical meditation is very different from the worldly or Eastern meditation that is in vogue these days. Someone describe Eastern meditation, just a thumbnail sketch. What is the goal of Eastern meditation? Adam?
Emptying your
mind. Right, right. Think of nothing and find peace in nothingness. Biblical meditation is the complete opposite. You'll find peace as you fill your mind with these things. If you fill your mind with these promises of God, actions of God, attributes of God, and you think on these things and meditate on these things.
I like to think of emptying your mind as an airheaded philosophy.
It's a good way to remember it, an airheaded philosophy. If you read books on meditation, you'll find that authors sometimes compare it to a cow chewing its cud. So a cow that eats grass will chew on that for a long, long time.
And regurgitate it.
And we'll bring it up again over and over again and chew on it some more. Meditation has that element to it, so the idea of bringing it up again so that you think about it. And you roll it over in your mind and purposefully think about God's Word. It does take effort to do that, though. And one test of this would be to ask, what does your mind turn to when you aren't thinking about anything? It turns to something, doesn't it? Right? So, what does it turn to? I'll leave that in your hands just to consider in your own life. What does your mind naturally turn to, and then remind you that you do have both the ability and the responsibility to be a captain of your thoughts, or to take captive those thoughts. And as you catch yourself thinking about things that are not godly, to regurgitate or to chew the cud, to think on these things. You can train yourself in thinking by what you take in and by practicing meditating throughout the day. If you'd like to see a few pointers on that, you can, I haven't done it yet, I'm going to get a copy of this book for the church library, and you can look at the last couple pages of this chapter, and he just discusses ways that you can develop the Christian discipline of meditation. It involves reminding yourself throughout the day to think again on what you've read, or to designate a certain passage for a week to mull on and to consider. I know some of you are really good with your phones. You can set reminders, and that trigger will help you to remember to meditate. Psalm 63 describes meditating on God in the middle of the night. So in those sleepless nights, if you are having trouble sleeping, don't just get up and flip on the TV or start going through your Pinterest. Think on God. Go through memory verses and meditate on those things. Philippians 4:8 has six different areas that we are going to briefly consider. If we have time, we'll go through each one of them. What I would like to do is to ask you to tell me the negative. He's going to put it in the positive, but I want you to identify the negative parts of the media around you that are being guarded against, and then the positive that you should replace it with. So taking the first one, think on these things. Whatever things are true, what's the negative that is being warned against there? And give me an example of it.
Lies.
Okay, and an example.
Most news stations.
Okay, why is that? Don't they report the news?
Their version of it.
Okay.
Well, I think, though, also he's meaning, for instance, believing false things about God.
You know? Sure, yeah. Yeah. Which happens in a lot of media as well. There's much entertainment that pokes fun at Christians or says false things about God. Murray especially identifies some dangers during a political election season, because there's a partisan, whatever viewpoint that you're trying to get across, there's often lies that are told about the other side, whatever that other side is. And his comment is that an overemphasis on falsehood breeds a destructive cynicism, suspicion, mistrust, and hostility. So you may think that you're listening to the news from the right side, but if you're feeding just lies about other candidates, you may be feeding a cynicism about the world into your life. So how do you nurture the truth in this case with media?
Be discerning in what you and how you listen to news, media.
I'll let somebody else take the front line.
Secondhand news.
People seem to be willing to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of a lot that are very interested in the news right now. Back to Randy's point on truth telling about God, there's finding either entertainment or movies that are uplifting or truthful about God and His nature would be good as well. Let's go on to number two. Whatever things are noble, what do you would you say would be the opposite of noble?
Unnoble.
Cowardly. Yeah. Vile. Good. Yeah.
Common.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Murray uses the word base, which is another word for common. He uses vile, sordid. He cites 50 Shades of Grey as an example of this. And unfortunately, we could list a lot of examples of what is base or vile in our entertainment, especially, I would suggest, that things that we are putting in to our hearts and our minds to think about that is vile. So what is noble? And how do you find noble in media?
Part of being noble is telling the truth, so you find someone who tells the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat noble.
Yep. It goes back to truth.
I mean, there's a reputation to media. Some authors or some producer mm-hmm. of some kind has a reputation of what kind of media he likes to produce.
Yeah.
You can start to learn and identify who the people of reputation are.
Mm-hmm. Things that inspire you to bravely, and I think you said cowardly, so inspire the opposite. What is awe-inspiring? What is honorable? What is brave? What is noble? What's the opposite of just? Think on what those things that are just. If you say unjust, I'll ask unjust. You to to go a little further.
Cheat people out of their rightful judgment.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oppressive.
Say again?
Oppressive.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Unfair.
Unfair, oppressive, cheating. Say it again?
Unjust.
The connection of justice in the Bible is often to God's word and ruling according to His word. And so anything that is unjust, entertainment often focuses on what is oppressive. And in this case, those things that go sinfully or go wrong. Whatever things are pure, just a couple words to identify that. What would the opposite of that be? So maybe polluted. This one is maybe especially connected to sexual purity, and the opposite of pornography is the pollution of that is very contaminating. Lovely. What's the opposite of that?
Grotesque.
Yeah, grotesque. Ugly. We live in a world that delights in things that are ugly rather than things that are beautiful. Whatever things are of good report, what would an opposite of that be?
Politician.
There's some of that cynicism coming through, I think.
Like a bad reputation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that has a bad reputation, something that is destructive, gossip,
slander.
Slander, things that tear down rather than things that build up. The social media is especially prone in this direction for spreading things that tear down rather than things that build up. The job for you to do is to evaluate the way you spend your time on media and to apply Philippians 4:8 to see, is this a place where I'm being influenced by things that are false, base, unjust, impure, ugly, things that are destructive? And if so, to learn how to cut those things out. And one thing that's one very practical thing that Murray suggests is that you don't need to read all of those stories about the disasters that happen around the world. The latest shooting, the latest terrorism, the latest natural disaster. You don't need to know all of the details about that. And he talks about averting his eyes. So he may read the headline, but he won't read the entirety of an article like that. Vicki?
I think the tendency in journalism and media today is not just to report the news that happened, but every awful angle, it seems like, that they can come up with.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're unaware of these things. We're just not going to go what the media wants us to go in all these other areas.
And the sensational tragedy that is all around us, and the news will often make it that way. I've gone fairly quickly through this, but I hope it provides you a lot of cud to chew over this next week as you think about this verse particularly and your use of media, and that it might shape what you take in, and that shape it in a good way. I've gone over a little bit today, so I'll close us in prayer. Father, thank you that you do give us things that are beautiful and true to think on. And Lord, it's not just your word, but I do pray that we would use your word to meditate on. And also help us, God, to find those other things of life that are full of beauty and full of truth, and celebrate them, whether that be music or books or stories or movies. Help us to celebrate the beauty and the truth that is around us. And as we put good in, Lord, I pray that that would influence, that we would find that the God of peace is with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.